Sechs Obs per Gilmishna Vovental per Gilmishna Tess. The subject matter of the Mishnayos, which we're in the middle of right now, since Mishnah base of this Perek until roughly Mishnah Yud, the main subject matter and common theme of these Mishnayos is spending one's time involved in Torah pursuits and spiritual activities, learning Torah, and not wasting time. And interestingly, most of the entire Perek Gimel concerns things which are not Adam Lachaveiroi. It's not about improving necessarily your character traits towards others and being kind towards others, but rather it's about improving oneself in how he leads his general life personally. But yeah, as it may be Chalafta, Shkfar Chananya, Omer Rechalafta, the man who lived in and led the people of the village of Chananya, said the following lesson. Asar Shayeshim Vaiskim Batayra, 10 people who are sitting down and involved in learning Torah together, Shechina Shurua Beneim, Hashem's presence rests among them, and they will have extra siyat dishmael, they'll have extra help to understand the Torah which they are learning. Shenema, as the Pozik says, Eloi Kim Nitzov Adas Kel. Hashem stands in the congregation of Hashem, of God. And the Mishnah in Sanhedrin learns that the word Eda, or Adas, always refers to a group of at least 10 people. So assuming that when 10 people are involved in learning Torah together, Hashem is going to be more present there. When Ein Afilu Chamesha, and from where do we know that even if 5 people are learning Torah together, that the Shekhinah also rests among them, and is more present and concentrated in such a place? Shenema, as the Pasuk says, V'agudosoy al Eretz Yisoda. And his aguda, which literally means his group of people, al Eretz Yisoda, on the ground he has founded it. Aguda can also mean when one grasps something with his hand. And when he does that, so since one has 5 fingers on his hand, he would grasp something with the 5 fingers. And therefore, aguda is understood to refer to a group of 5 people. So when you have a group of 5 people who are learning Torah, then Hashem brings his presence to be more concentrated in that area on the land where those people are learning Torah. Alright? When Ein Afilu Shleisha, from where do we know that even 3 people who are learning Torah together, that also there the Shekhinah comes and is more present? Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Bekerev Elohim Yishpoit, in the midst of the judges, he will judge. This is referring to when a Beis Din judges a case. The Pasuk is saying that Hashem is present there, judging the case with them. Now, the minimum size Beis Din is 3 judges. And when they're judging a case, that's also considered to be learning Torah. So we learn from there that 3 people who are learning Torah together, the Shekhinah is amongst them. And when Ein Afilu Shnayim, from where do we know that even 2 people who are learning Torah together, that the Shekhinah comes to them? Shnayim, as the Pasuk says, Oz Nidbur Yir Hashem Yishol Re'ehu. Then those who fear Hashem spoke with each other, Vayakshu Hashem Vayishma, V'goymer, and Hashem listened and he heard, etc. Either we're talking about one person, Ish El Re'ehu, one person speaking to his friend, and we see that Hashem comes to listen, as it were. Okay, and the Mishnah ends off, from where do we know that even if one person is learning Torah by himself, anybody who's learning Torah, from where do we know that the Shekhinah is more present over there? Shenema, as the Pasuk says, B'chol Mokam Asher Azker Es Shemi, in any place where I will mention my name, Ovei Lecho Ve'achticha, I will come to you and bless you. Now, most people explain this Pasuk to mean, in every place that you will mention my name when you're learning Torah, I will come to you and bless you. Even though the word Azker literally means, I will mention my name, that wouldn't really make sense. We're talking about a person learning Torah. The point is, when you mention my name, when you learn the Torah, then I will come and bless you. However, the question needs to be asked, why does the Pasuk say Azger? Implying, as it were, that Hashem is mentioning his name, even though we're talking about you mentioning his name by learning Torah. So Rav Chaim Volozhiner, in his Sefer Ruach Chaim on Pirkei Avos, he answers that, yeah, truthfully speaking, we think that we can speak. We think we can do anything at all, anything the entire day. You think we can lift up a finger without Hashem wanting us to lift up a finger? Only that which is Rotzen Hashem, that which Hashem wants to happen, is going to happen. Before we start saying Shemona Esrei every time, we say Hashem Sfasai Tiftoch, open up my lips, open up my mouth. We have that realization that I can't even speak without Hashem allowing me to speak. And it being His will that I can open up my mouth and start praising Him. In Nishmas, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, which we say at the end of Pesukah de Zimra, a lot of it is also spent emphasizing that it's the mouth which you, Hashem, gave me, and it's the neshama which you gave me, and the breath and everything which you gave me that I'm using to praise you. And without you this second deciding that I'm still going to be able to have that gift of speech, and I'm going to be able to breathe, without that I wouldn't be able to do this. It's all down to you. Another example is the posuk in Tehillim, which actually a survivor of the Holocaust, a particular survivor, upon being asked what his favorite song from before the war, does he remember any songs from before the war, what was his favorite one? He answered, he was a chosid, and he answered that his favorite niggun, his favorite song, was Zamre Elokim Zamairi, Zamre Malkaini Zamairi, Zamre Elokim Zamairu, sing to Hashem, sing, Zamre Malkeinu Zamairu, sing to our king, sing, praise Hashem. This is found in the Perek of Tehillim, which we say 7 times before blowing the shofar in Rosh Hashanah. And he turned around and said that people, when they sing this song, most people make a mistake, and they sing they say the wrong words. They say, Zamru Leilokim Zameiru, Zamru Lemalkeinu Zameiru. Let's sing and praise Hashem, let's sing and praise to our king. And they are saying, Zamru Leilokim, let us sing to Hashem. But if you look inside, the Pasuk doesn't say that. The Pasuk says, Zamru Elokim Zameiru, sing Hashem, sing. And then it says, Zamru Lemalkeinu Zameiru, sing to our king, which makes more sense. But what does the first half of the Pasuk mean? Sing Hashem. As if we're saying that Hashem is the one who is singing the praise. What's going on? And this Holocaust survivor, after everything he'd gone through, he turned around and explained that it's the exact lesson which we just saw from the Rav Chaim Volozhiner in the Ruach Chaim. You think that you're the one singing. You think that you can open your mouth at all without Hashem wanting you to do so. Only once you realize that Zamru Elokim Zamiru, that when you're opening up your mouth in praise of Hashem, it's really Hashem who's doing it, as it were. Anything I do is really only an actualization and expression of Rotzen Hashem, of Hashem's will being happening in the world. Only once I realize that I'm totally powerless without Hashem wanting that to happen, only then can I really start praising Zamru Limalkeinu Zamiru, can I start praising our King Hashem. And that is the lesson, really, which we see in this Mishnah. That is why the Pasuk says, B'chol Mokom Asher Azkir Es Shemi, any place that I mention my name, even though it's you learning, you've got to realize that when you're learning, it's really just another expression of Hashem's will. Now, another thing which needs to be taken note of is that we're talking about mentioning Hashem's name. What's that got to do with learning Torah? We're not talking about davening over here, or saying Hashem's names or descriptions. We're talking about learning Torah, so why are we bringing a Pasuk which talks about mentioning Hashem's name? The answer is, many Sforim, for example, the Ramban, in his introduction to his commentary on the Torah, they explain that the entire Torah is essentially made up of Hashem's different names. The words and letters are split up in ways that we can also read it as different words, but essentially it's all, if you add all the different combinations which exist, then ultimately all of the Torah is essentially Hashem's names presented in different ways. In fact, the Radvaz says that the reason why there are no vowels in the Torah is because all of the combinations of Hashem's names are not bound by the vowels. And these are in general Kabbalistic terms, but it's important to realize that when we're learning Torah, this is not just a subject like math, science, literature. You're literally learning Hashem. Every word of Torah is the deepest connection which we can have in this world to understanding and becoming more similar to and connecting to Hashem. Mishnah Zion, according to the Rav Chaim Volozhiner's explanation of the previous Mishnah, that the Pasuk says, Azkir Es Shemi, that Hashem is mentioning his name even though we're the ones doing it, because we realize that anything we ever do is only because Hashem really allows that to happen at that time. That's really a perfect way of going into the next Mishnah, Rabbi Lozor Ish Bar Toysa, Omer Rabbi Lozor, who lived in and led the people of the village of Bar Toysa. He said the following teaching, Ten loy mishaloy, give him from what belongs to him, meaning give Hashem from that which belongs to him. So this could include mitzvahs like tzedakah, fulfill mitzvah tzedakah, and realize that when you're giving the money to the poor person, you're not giving your own money to the poor person. It all belongs to Hashem anyway. Or when spending money on mitzvahs. Yeah, so you're giving some of the money which belongs to Hashem anyway for the sake of serving him. Because you've got to realize, she'atah v'shalach shalai, because you and everything which you belong, which you own, really is Hashem's. V'chein b'David ho'aymer, and similarly the Pasuk says regarding David HaMelech, ki mimcha hakol, David HaMelech said to Hashem, that everything comes from you, u'miyodcha nosanu lach, and from your hand, that which is yours already, we gave to you. Only with your will and because of what you, the strength that you gave us, are we able to give this to you? And he was talking about the donations to the Beis HaMikdash to build the first Beis HaMikdash. But the lesson is the same, that whatever we have anyway belongs to Hashem, so one should not withhold himself from spending that money on Torah and mitzvahs. Rabbi Shimon says, "V'halich baderech v'shoyne," one who is walking on a pathway and he's learning, "umafsik mishnosoi," and he interrupts his learning as he's walking, "v'omer," and he says, "manoi ilon zeh," how beautiful is this tree, "umanoi nir zeh," and how beautiful is this plowed field, ready to be planted. He's praising Hashem's creation. Says the Mishnah, "Mal olav akosuv kilim ischai benafshoi." The Torah considers it as if he has become liable by his life, as if he deserves a death penalty, because he was just learning Torah. And as great as it is to praise Hashem's creation, and one can even gain a greater level of emunah and faith in Hashem by looking at his creation in his world. However, when one is involved in learning Torah, to interrupt the Torah in order to praise a physical creation which Hashem created is considered to be a terrible sin, as we can see in the Mishnah. Now, it's interesting that the Mishnah uses an example of a plowed field. If we were trying to think of very beautiful things which might cause somebody to praise Hashem for creating, I don't know how many of us would have put a plowed field on the list. Even a tree, you can have a beautiful tree, but still, there are more beautiful things in the world. What is the Tana of this Mishnah trying to show us by using these examples specifically of a tree and a plowed field? I mean, how beautiful can a plowed field be already? So one explanation, which can very much explain this point, is that these two things represent potential. A tree, the amount of potential which the tree has in the future to produce countless fruits, which can again be replanted and be turned into new trees and produce new fruit in an endless way. A tree is constantly growing and it represents potential. And on a similar note, a plowed field. The plowed field is ready for planting and creating a new batch of produce, etc. And the potential which one sees in such a field, which is plowed and ready to be planted, is huge. However, all of this, at the end of the day, is only potential for future life. When you're learning Torah, you're connected to the source of all life. This is life itself. The Torah, when you're learning Torah, you are in the closest state of connection to the very source of any life there is. Torah, we say, ki hein chayenu. Torah itself is life. So to give up life for potential life, to remark on the beauty of potential, that is truly foolish. And when the Mishnah says that you're deserving of death, that's because you're separating from the source of all real life. In the name of Rabbi Meir says, anybody who forgets one thing from his learning as a result of not reviewing it enough, the Mishnah says an extremely scary thing now. Once again, the Torah considers it as if he's deserving of death. And again, this seems very harsh, but the idea behind it is not necessarily for the actual forgetting of the Torah, but it's what it shows. Forgetting the Torah and not reviewing what you have learned shows that it's not important to you. Because things that are really important to you, you don't forget. If you carelessly forget the Torah which you've learned as a result of just not going over it and not doing enough chazorah and review, in order to retain in your mind that which you have learned, you're sending across a message that it's not considered important to you and you don't really care about it so much. And for that, you're deserving of death, as the Mishnah says. Now, from where do we learn that? Shneimar, as the pasuk says, "Raki shomer lecha," just guard yourself, "ushmo nafshecha ma'oid," and guard and watch your life very much. "Pentishkach zadvor masheror enecha," in case you forget the things which your eyes saw at Har Sinai. So we see that forgetting the Torah is something which you need to guard your life for. Meaning that if you do end up forgetting it, then it could put your life in jeopardy, chas v'shalom, to some extent. Now, the Mishnah just adds, in order to emphasize, this is only as a result of carelessly forgetting it. Because that shows that you don't really care, you don't consider the Torah important. I might have thought that this applies even if the learning just became too much, too heavy. And the cause of him forgetting the Torah, or part of his Torah, was not because he carelessly didn't review it enough, but because it was actually too difficult for whatever reason. In such a case, would he also be liable to death? Talmud Loma, I know the Torah we learn from a pasuk that is not the case, because the pasuk says, "Upen yosur mulvavachol kol meichayecha." You should guard yourself from forgetting it. And then the pasuk continues, in case it will be removed from your heart, you'll remove it from your heart for your whole life. So we learn from there, Ha'enu is chayv anasha, he's only liable to death, ad sheyeshev yisrin relibay, if he sits there and actively removes the Torah from his heart. Meaning it's due to carelessly not reviewing it at all. But otherwise, this punishment would not apply. Mishnah Tes, Rechanin Medaisa Omer, Rechanin Medaisa says, Kol shiras chetek demes lechachmasai, anybody whose fear of sinning precedes his wisdom and his knowledge of Torah, his top priority is to fear sin. That's even more important for him than the learning Torah itself. Chachmas miskayemes. For such a person, his Torah wisdom will remain. However, if his Torah learning is more of a priority than his fear of sinning, and he just wants to become wise, but it's not necessarily based on a connection with Hashem, then in Chachmas miskayemes, his knowledge of Torah even will not remain. And on a similar note, Tuya Omer, he would also say, anybody whose deeds, whose good deeds and keeping halacha is more than the knowledge of Torah which he has, chachmas miskayemes, his knowledge of Torah will remain and be established. However, v'choshe chachmas miskayemes, anybody whose wisdom is more than his actions, he doesn't necessarily practice all that he preaches. When it comes to keeping the actual halacha, he's not necessarily so particular. Then, in chachmas miskayemes, even his knowledge of Torah will not remain. Because if he's not going to take this to a practical level, then it shows that all the Torah is lacking, all the Torah which he is learning is lacking, and he's not doing it for the right reasons.